morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship here at St. Luke's Lutheran Church. It's good to see all of you who are here in person, and welcome to those who are joining us more remotely. We do have a few announcements. Monday from 12 to 1, our volunteers at the food pantry are Linda Champlin and Jan Nelson. Tuesday at 10 o'clock, right here, we have Bible study. Thursday at 2 p.m. here we have bell choir practice. Next Sunday, right after worship, we will have our annual meeting. We encourage all of you to attend. And also, starting this Thursday over at Union Congregational, we will begin Bible study with an overview of the Bible. All of you are welcome to attend. Are there any other announcements? Jan.
Linda and I are switching times for the food pantry with Buck and Jan this month.
Okay. As long as they know. All right. All right. Then please stand as you're able for the confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Let us join together in our gathering song, Arise, Your Light Has Come. It is number 314. The Kyrie. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. for this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen.
They told the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Accordingly, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could hear with understanding. This was on the first day of the seventh month. He read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and the women, and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. Then they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So they read from the book, from the law of God, with interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 19 responsively. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sun proclaims its maker's handiwork.
One day your tales tell its tale to another, and then one night your heart's knowledge to another.
Although they have no words or language, and their voices are not heard,
their sound is gone out into all lands, and their message to the ends of the world. For God has
It comes forth like a bridge room out of its chamber. It rejoices like a champion to run its course.
It goes forth from the uttermost edge of the heavens and runs about to the end of it again. Nothing is hidden from its burning heat.
The teaching of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the simple.
The statutes of the Lord are just and rejoice the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear and gives light to the eyes.
The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
More to be desired are they than gold, more than much fine gold, sweeter far than honey, than honey and comb.
By them also is your servant enlightened, and in keeping them there is great reward.
Who can detect one's own offenses, unless he recognizes secret faults?
Above all, keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not get dominion over me. Then shall I be whole and sound and innocent of a great offense.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
The second reading is from the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body through many are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension in the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
According to Luke, the 4th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in the synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Do we have any children who want to come forward for a children's sermon? Oh, good. Come come down to you.
Difficulty with these things still.
You think after all the 3 years I'd be able to figure out how to put on a mask.
How are you this morning?
Good.
Good, glad to hear it. We had an interesting prayer as we began. It said, Blessed Lord God, you have caused the Holy Scriptures to be written for the nourishment of your people. Grant that we may hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them. Yeah, it's the inwardly digest. What do you think that means? To nourish your brain. I like that, so that you can understand it. It's not to actually physically take the pages of your book and chew them, right?
No.
Although there was a prophet who did that. He was told to eat the word, and he did. That's not usually what we mean when we tell you to nourish your brain with scripture, right? Sometimes I know dogs like to do that. I don't know that they get much out of it by consuming it. Do you have any favorite books that you like to read over and over again? What's your favorite book?
Wings of Fire, it's a series.
Wings of Fire, a series about dragons. Why do you like that series?
Because there's a lot of detail and there's different things. It's got a lot of detail.
Okay. So you really like the interesting details.
I have one.
What's your favorite?
They're called Bill and Billy.
Oh, yes.
Also a series. I really like those because there's so much, like, adventure and detail and things you can watch.
Okay, so it has lots of detail. You say both of you like books with lots of detail in
it.
Okay. Yeah, it helps when the details give you those pictures and give you that understanding of what the book is all about. If you could describe yourself using any words from a book, what would you choose? That's a hard one, I know. I didn't give you any preparation for that. Religious? I think if I were to choose one, I was going to look this up and I didn't. I would have to paraphrase it because I would look at one of my favorite books, which is Alice in Wonderland and Through the Looking Glass. And it is a statement by one of the queens about all of the impossible things that she could imagine before breakfast. I think that would describe it pretty well. How about the rest of you? If you could choose any words from a book to describe yourself, what would they be? Yeah, that it's hard if you read a lot of books. If you only read one book, you would probably find something. But because we read a lot of books, we don't know. And in our gospel reading today, you notice Jesus chose one passage of the scroll that he was given. And he chose that specifically because it talked about him. I think he may have planned that. That's exactly right. He was trying to teach the people, and that is what he likes to do. So he chose this passage specifically because he knew that it said something about him. And what do you think the people thought about his reading this particular passage? Okay. It could encourage some of them? Yeah. What do you think?
Okay.
To be called adventurous? Yeah, that's a good thing to be, most of the time. Well, thank you for those thoughts about adventure and about detail and about the words that we might choose to describe ourselves. And also, I really like that, what you said about what inwardly digest means. To nourish your brain. So let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the gift of books. We especially thank you for the library of books that we call the Bible. We ask, Lord, as we listen to those words, as we read them, that we inwardly digest them, that we use them to nourish our brain and nourish our spirits. And we thank you for them and for the details they provide for how they tell us about you and how we are to live. And we thank you for that, O Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
And let me use those words from Psalm 19. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Last week, our gospel reading was Jesus' first public act of ministry as depicted in the Gospel of John. Remember that one? The water turned to wine at the wedding feast at Cana. This week, we look at how Luke describes the beginning of Jesus' public ministry in Galilee. Jesus has been preaching and teaching throughout the country. The word about him has been spreading, and we're told that he was praised by everyone. Well, now he's come home to his hometown of Nazareth. And surely some of those positive reports about Jesus have spread there. And the people have gathered at the synagogue. They are full of anticipation as the scroll of the prophet Isaiah is given to Jesus. Did Jesus immediately turn to the portion of Isaiah that he wished to read? Or did he let the anticipation build? It must have been a dramatic moment when Jesus unrolled the scroll, found the passage, and began to read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. These are passages from Isaiah chapter 58 and chapter 61. They are words of promise, words of redemption, words of comfort and consolation. Those gathered at the synagogue that day would have been familiar with this promise of redemption. The people have been waiting a long time for this promise to be fulfilled. When Jesus finishes reading, he rolls up the scroll and sits down. It is now time to preach and to teach regarding the words of the prophet that have just been read. And it's necessary to have a preaching and teaching time because the words that he read are in Hebrew. And the people speak Aramaic. So they're expecting a long discourse, a long, long teaching. Maybe not as long as we heard in that first reading of Nehemiah, where they spent all day listening to scripture and listening to its interpretation. But they're expecting him to really expound on this piece of scripture. And Jesus says, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." That may be one of the shortest sermons ever preached. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. While the words of Isaiah are familiar, these words are new. What can Jesus mean by them? How could this scripture be fulfilled in their hearing? And where is the rest of the sermon? Jesus chose this passage to reveal who he is, to reveal what he will do, and to reveal for whom he has come. He could have chosen any passage from Scripture, yet he chose this one to sum up his identity and his mission. As for the rest of his sermon, he preaches it with his life, with his death, and with his resurrection. Throughout this season of Epiphany, our gospel readings are designed to reveal something about Jesus and his ministry. Something about Jesus and his relationship to the one who sent him. Today we see the type of ministry that grows out of the Spirit's anointing of Jesus and out of his fidelity to God. Jesus' ministry is one in which the power of the Holy Spirit is manifested. At his baptism, the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove, and a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my Son, the Beloved, in whom I am well pleased." Filled with the Spirit, Jesus endured 40 days in the wilderness being tempted by Satan. Filled with the Spirit, Jesus embarks upon his public ministry. Jesus explains what this ministry will entail. Good news to the poor, release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, freedom for the oppressed. And perhaps most wonderful of all, the year of the Lord's favor. Perhaps this reference is to the year of Jubilee, which was to occur every 50 years, though it is unclear whether this practice was ever followed. The year of Jubilee is a time when debts are forgiven and possessions are restored. It is the time when all Israelites sold into indentured servitude were set free, when all mortgaged property was returned to the original owners, when all agricultural labor ceased and the land was allowed to rest, when all debts were forgiven. It is a time of rest and renewal, a time of fresh beginnings, a time of celebration. Imagine what it would be like if all your credit card debt was erased, your mortgage and your car loans were paid off, all your medical bills were wiped out, where all the debts that you owe are completely erased. Imagine a year where you did not need to work, where your body and your soul could be refreshed. And then the next year, everyone could start over again, like hitting a reset button. That was the year of Jubilee. When Jesus said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing," he is saying that he is proclaiming a year of the Lord's favor. But he's not referring to a single 12-month period. He's not referring to a single calendar year when debts are erased. Instead, he's referring to the beginning of an era of God's grace, a time when the debt that we incur because of sin is erased. It is the beginning of a never-ending time of celebration of God's abundant grace and mercy. The words that Jesus read from Isaiah find an echo in Mary's Magnificat, her song of praise for the things that God has done. She's saying, "He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty." Jesus states that he has come to bring good news to the poor. That good news is couched in language of liberation that suggests that the kingdom of God is at hand. As Jesus goes about his ministry, we will see that not only does he give sight to the physically blind, but he also challenges those who are spiritually blind to open up their eyes. We see him feed those who are hungry in body and in spirit. We will see his association with the poor and the marginalized, his love for children, his desire to heal those who suffer. We will see him challenge systems of injustice that keep people in physical or spiritual bondage. Through his death and resurrection, he frees those who are captive to sin. And as we will see in next week's gospel, not everyone considers what Jesus is preaching to be good news. If Jesus is who he says he is, what does that mean for us? For those of us hearing his words today. If we take this epiphany, this revelation about Jesus seriously, how are we to respond? In our Magnificat, Mary acknowledged what God had done for her and for all humankind and foreshadowed Jesus' ministry. In this first public act of ministry in his hometown, Jesus situates his identity and his ministry in the ongoing promises of God, promises of liberation and grace, promises of restoration. We tend to think of freedom as being able to do whatever we want, but Jesus has a different way of describing freedom. It is release from captivity to sin. It is a sublimation of one's will to the will of God. In Jesus, the one chosen and anointed to preach and proclaim the good news of God, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, The promises are at last fulfilled. So let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, as you began your public ministry, you opened up the scriptures and revealed yourself as the fulfillment of God's promises to provide a Messiah. Give us the courage to proclaim the good news to a world hungry for your message of grace, freedom, and redemption. Amen. Let us join together in our hymn of the day. It is Let Streams of Living Justice, number 710. Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord is poured out upon us in abundance, so we are bold to pray for the church, the world, and all that God has made. You reveal yourself to us in the reading of Scripture. Fulfill your word through the faithful witness of your church. Send us out to bring your liberating good news to all people. God of grace, hear our prayer. All creation proclaims your handiwork. Teach us to love the intricate and beautiful bodies that you have created. Bless tiny insects, enormous whales, and every creature in between. Sustain species at risk of extinction. God of grace, hear our prayer. You desire that there be no dissension among us. Where we are divided in our society, nation, or world, Come quickly to reunite us into one body. Ease conflict, dispel violence, and bring an end to war. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Anoint with your spirit all who seek your favor. Grant provision and justice for people living in poverty, people living with disabilities, those living with pain, those living under oppression. We pray especially for those who are on our prayer chain and for those that we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Build up the body of Christ in this place. Bless the variety of ministries in this congregation. Empower us to freely welcome and deeply value each person who enters into worship and ministry among us. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
In thanksgiving, we lift before you the saints for whom the promise of salvation has now been fulfilled. Tend to those who mourn. Bring us together in your everlasting glory. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Since we have such great hope in your promises, O God, we lift these and all our prayers to you in confidence and faith through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share with one another a sign of peace. I'll share my usual. And we thank you for sending in your offerings to the church or giving them online banking. Let us join together in our offertory, Create in Me a Clean Heart, is number 186.
Christ Jesus,